God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. The law and the prophets. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the light from the day. Here's that division again. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. This is the fourth day of the covenant of the restoration week. Jesus came on the fourth day of the covenant week. See, once the flood of Noah happened, then we get the law. Then we get the law and the prophets, you know. So here it is, the fourth day. Let them and then continuing, verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. So now the sun is on. Everything else he did under the glory. And now, then he turned the suns on. The sun and all the stars, you know. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. So now, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Evening and the morning were the fifth day. See, on the fifth day of the restoration week, it reflects the fifth day of the covenant week, which is now. See, we still got the fifth and sixth day. We're in the sixth day. And we're ministering the gospel of Jesus. God is subduing everything. You see the order of God. It's perfect. Everything is perfect. It's set. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, here we go. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. See, Daniel spoke about something. He said, the angel told Daniel that knowledge would be increased. Daniel also said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits in the most trying times. And while we're doing all these wonderful things, Satan's trying to tear us down from the inside out and from the outside in. But if you do what God said, you will win. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Jesus gave us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the devil. And he said, go into all the earth and preach the gospel to every creature, and heal the sick, raise the dead. If you take up serpents, it won't hurt you. If you drink anything poison, you'll live. You won't hurt you. you're drinking a deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You got to believe it. And you got to subdue your life. And the Word of God gives you everything to do. It gives you everything you need. Verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it should be for food for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. I like that word, very good. Everything was very good. All works together, see. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now on the seventh day, let's look at that seventh day for a moment. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and set it apart, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which he created and made. On the seventh, on Saturday, see, when Saturday starts, Jesus will be ruling and reigning on the earth. And we're going to have rest. Satan will be put out of commission. And after 1,000 years, he'll be loose to tempt whatever he can. And then all of that, all disaster will be gone forever, and there'll be no more evil man. One scripture, which I don't know where it is, it says, the day will come, you'll look for an evil man and won't be able to find one. Because God's going to subdue everything, and he's going to have dominion forever. That's the fourth commandment was to subdue life. Then it says this, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. All right, now, the Lord, so we have to approach the things of life. Jesus once said I have to read it. I'll mess it up if I don't look to it. I think it was in the book of Luke, chapter 16, I believe. Jesus was saying that the generations of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light are in theirs. And he said it was around the unjust servant. Here it is, verse 8. The Lord commanded the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. But see, remember though, that's how it was when they first were introduced to the light. The children of the world were wiser in their generation than the children of the light were in theirs. But Daniel said that knowledge would be increased. And so, after all, we had to learn to fight. We had to learn spiritual warfare. We had to learn to stand. We had to learn to conquer our emotions. We had to learn to break through and conquer our culture problems. We had to, our nation had to conquer and overcome all kind of problems. Slavery, racism, bigotry, greed, lust. See, the people of God that come out of the world, as the world is doing these evil things, the people of God break through. And then they live according to God's word. And they subdue their lives. They break through the works of darkness to the point that they hate it. And see, when we repent, we shouldn't just turn to the light. We should hate the darkness. You can't completely repent unless you hate the dark. I always confess that I hate the works of darkness. I hate Satan's ways. Everything that's not like Jesus got to go. I hate greed. I hate lust. I hate pride. I hate everything that's of the devil. and I love everything that's of God. These are confessions of faith that I make all the time. And I say I will do all that's in God's heart for me to do. Now, what am I doing when I confess this? I'm surrendering my whole life to the mighty hand of God. I'm giving him the reins of my life. See, in Isaiah 11, it talked about the things that Jesus did. But it talks about the reins also. You know, Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Understand something. The Holy Spirit can't rest on something unclean. If you want to attract the Holy Spirit, walk in his love and be clean and remain clean, and he will rest upon you. John said that he saw the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus and rested on him and remained. Now, I've seen people full of the Holy Ghost and shout, and then they get in the flesh, and you know, that was that. And then, or they in and out, and they up and down. But see, the Holy Spirit will rest upon you, and he will always be with you. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit, and that's my goal for the Holy Spirit, to rest on me. I want to do everything that I do to attract the Holy. I don't want to do any, sow any discord. I don't want to say something that people can take the wrong way. And I'm sure I've done things or said things that could have been taken the wrong way. I said, man, and when I think about it, I ask the Lord to help me, help people understand. Because the devil always accuses. Sometimes your best intentions, people can take it the wrong way. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And you know, you can do your best efforts. So I'm going to tell you something. People, they assess things based on how they think. People expect you to do what they would do. So sometimes, no matter what you do, they're going to expect the wrong thing. So you have to outsmart them. And I do it this way, because I don't know how to outsmart them. I don't know how to represent Jesus to people that's looking for trouble. But one thing I do, I depend on the Lord to help me be covenant appropriate in all of my words, in all of my actions, and in all of my ways, my intentions, the way I persuade people, my advice, all of it's got to be of the Holy Ghost. That's what I desire. Okay, so you can say something, you can quote a scripture wrong and offend people. You know, sometimes I refer to scriptures and I might forget a part. Just like when I, read verse 29, God blessed them. I never saw that. I never paid attention to it. To the end. So when I go back and look at the scripture, I don't get sideways. So when I get sideways, just overlook and forgive me. I don't mean no harm. But watch this. After it talked about the work of the Holy Spirit on me, verse 3 says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now we need that. We need to be able to look at people objectively and not judge things by what we see or hear or expect. Because wait on the Holy Spirit to show you the truth. Because Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you into all truth. But watch this. This is how Jesus did it. Verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. See that? With righteousness. How will he know how to judge the poor? The Holy Spirit is going to help him do it. With righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. He'll be covenant appropriate. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He won't slay the righteous. In verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. You see that? Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. Now watch this last part. And faithfulness, covenant faithfulness, covenant appropriate faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. Sometimes when it's time for God to guide people, they wrestle with God being in full control. Now, they know it's appropriate to say, Jesus, you're my Lord. But as soon as they say it in the spirit, when they're supposed to be handing him the reins, it's pretend I'm handing Jesus the reins of my heart. And I'm bringing my hands down. And then I grab that rein just a little bit. and with two of my fingers and kind of, I'm wrestling with what I want to choose instead of leaving it in God's hands. Now I'm going to tell you this. There needs to be wisdom taught about that. When you give something to God, when I ask God who is the best candidate to vote for instance, now people will tell you that half the nation love one and half the other, but I don't know these people, God does. I have to become objective to where I don't care what he'll tell me. And I say, Lord, I'm just using voting, that's a good way to do it, for an example. Who is the best candidate? And I have to come to a point, I don't care what he say. I just, I'm listening now, because I don't know. And then the Lord showed me what he going to show me. I always knew who the president would be. And except for Trump. I just knew that Hillary was not going to be the president. But he told the rest of them, he told me why. And not that they were the best people in the world, but he told me what would happen. And God has a reason for everything he does. He don't, you know, we vote on these people, and I, you know, we as a patriot, I do my duty and pray for them. That don't mean that I agree with with everything they do. And remember something, people are going to be people. God has to work with people. All the miracles he ever did was through people. So, but when it comes to his people, it's like Jesus said in that movie, in that show. He said, he was talking to Thomas's future father-in-law. He said, I require a lot of those that follow me, but I don't require anything of those that don't. Wow, I was like, whoa, that's how my king sounds. He judged things by righteousness. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loin, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, when it comes to trusting the Lord, I give Jesus the reins. And I'm ready to say, yes, Lord, to whatever he say. I even vowed that I would obey him. So I don't really have a choice. Some people, I don't want a choice anymore now at this point. I used to reluctantly obey God. I used to nervously obey God. I ultimately wanted to obey him. This is how it was when I first started responding to the things that God gave me to do after I made that vow in 88. See, I made the vow in 88. Here I am in 91. God's guiding me to these churches with these messages. And I was like, you know how you give your dog a bath? He don't really want a bath right now, but it's that time to get that bath. And it's a dog bath war. He see the soap and that old tail go between his legs. Well, God would give me the message and I had to deliver it. And it was like a dog bath. But I made a vow that I would obey him. So I would nervously obey him. I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to do it right, but it wasn't what I would have done. But because of the vow, I obeyed him. But every time as I obeyed him, it worked. Now, he sent me to people with words and messages of encouragement and warnings and, you know, you name it, I had it. And I said, Lord, I got nervous because, see, the thing about God, everything multiplies. If you're faithful, if you want God to talk to you, be faithful with the last thing he said. And I told my wife that today. She's been feeling bad, and pray for her. Cause she hadn't been sleeping well. Now when y'all prayed for me about my throat, if you notice, I hadn't had to clear up my throat anymore. I asked y'all to pray for me, and it works. So, pray for my wife that she get her heart medicine right, and she would get her, the right dosage and the right type. And also pray that she'll sleep all night and gain her weight back. If you'll pray those three things for me, I would really appreciate it. But the Lord told me there's nothing wrong with your body. And this was 2 months ago, more or less. He said, there's nothing wrong with your body, but live your life. But she, because of symptoms, she feel like something may be wrong. And she gets nervous. And she hadn't been following through on her part. Well, I said, well, what you got to do if you want God to guide you and talk to you again, you got to be faithful with what he said the last time he told you something. I said, live your life. Now, this is why I say that. If you want God to talk to you, he gave me a message one time called Backtracking to Success. We're supposed to walk dialogue with God, walk and talk with him all the time. But if he tell you to do something and you do something else and he stopped and he goes silent on you, that's not normal. Go back and find the peace where he talked with you. Find where he told you something and you didn't do it, and make it good, and start being obedient. Now, this is how it works, folks. If the Lord talks to you and you're faithful with what he said, he's going to talk some more. If he give you something to do and you're faithful with it, he's going to give you more. I gave that example, the first word that I wrote called Coming to Life. And I'm going to get that and share it with y'all in one of these broadcasts in the near future, God willing. I'm going to share it. But when he gave it to me, I did like most Christians do. I put it in my notebook and I would show it to people, but I didn't really do anything with it. And I showed it to the right person. Dennis Morgan, he told me he had an alternator shop. He said, man, this is beautiful. Get it typed up and make me a copy and give it to me. Well, when I got it, I didn't just get one copy, I got 100. And so I gave him one, and then that week my uncle died and my cousin said, you ought to give this to the family. So I passed it out to the family. Well, guess what happened? God gave me another word. So I took it to church, passed them out, and it got to where God would give me something like that every day. Every day I would write a one-page word. It would be front and back. And I would write a word, and it would be catchy. And that's how Live and Letter Ministries got started. So when you're faithful with what God gives you, he's going to keep talking. But if you go into doubt, if you start doubting and don't do it, then he'll stop talking. Because God talks faith. He talks to people that have love in them. He talks to people that believe him. And he relates to people, and he draws near to people who have charity, that agape love of Jesus. Never forget these things. See, the Lord set us up right. He made us in his image. Then he gave us gifts. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruits of the Spirit. And if you stick with what Jesus taught, you'll never, ever be covenant inappropriate. You will always be covenant appropriate if you stick to what Jesus said. If you let his words abide in you and you abide in his words, you're covenant appropriate. You can ask what you will, it'll be done. And you won't ask for foolishness. You'll ask for godly things. You'll ask for living things. You won't ask for satanic things. And you can't serve God with a satanic mind. A proud mind, which is satanic, a greedy mind, a lustful mind. You drive those Philistines out. You drive those Amalekites out of your heart, just like Israel was supposed to drive them out of their promised land. Your promised land is your newborn spirit, your born-again spirit. So it has no room for the unfruitful works of darkness. God said, be fruitful, not unfruitful. Satan is unfruitful. We are fruitful. The lukewarm church is unfruitful. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. They have no covenant. They don't have on a kingly robe or a priestly robe. They're wretched. They don't bring up forth fruit. Miserable. They can't multiply. Blind. They can't see their condition. And they're looking at their material wealth, which is, that don't mean anything. They have no spiritual wealth. They're poor. They're blind. They can't see their state, and they're naked. So nevertheless, don't be like that. A.G. Gaston once said, if you want to be wealthy, don't look at what the poor people do and don't do that. Well, look at what the Laodiceans do and don't do that. Do what Jesus do. Stick with what he said to the seven churches. Guys, he equipped us without limit. Stay in the order of God and you stay, you're unlimited. You can forever grow from glory to glory. That don't stop. So consider these things. And God can anoint you, appoint you, and as you walk in it and faithful, you're faithful with the things of God. Not only will you be covenant appropriate, you'll grow from glory to glory, and whatever you need, I told my wife, as you live, like he said, just do what you can, and he'll give you the strength for the rest. He'll start working with you. If you do whatever you do, do it in faith, and God will work with you. And he'll help you do what you can't do. I love it. God subdued, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And Jesus gave us dominion to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the devil. I love it. I love what God has done for us. He thought of everything. And he never ceases to amaze me. He thinks of everything. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And when it comes to walking in healing, remember something. He said, he told me once that it's as easy as picking fruit. So when you walk in, if you keep walking in agreement with the Lord, it's going to be so easy for you to receive what he's given. Stay in that covenant love. Don't protect it. Like the word said, guard your heart. Stay in the love of God. You'll never have trouble receiving revelation, and you'll always be covenant appropriate, and the Lord will help you. You'll do it in his strength, and it's so easy that way. And the work that you have to do, he'll give you the might to do it. I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.